And I want to preach tonight out of Hebrews chapter 12 on the race that we run. And it's not given in that to the one who is the quickest, but it's given to the one who is the steadiest at it tonight. A lot of us, some folk are like that hare. They'll start out wide open as fast as they can go, and then you can't find them in the next month or two, and then you'll see them in a little while, and then the next thing you know, they're back out of church, they run the race, and then they don't run the race, they run the race, and then they don't run the race, but this race has no stopping place that I know of until we get over to glory. That's when our race will be done. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, if I ask you to stand to your feet just one more time, the Bible said in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind." You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you again for this wonderful time. We thank you for each one that is in the house of God tonight. I know some probably do not feel well. They're just glad to be here. And Lord, I'm very glad to be here tonight. Lord, we ask and pray that you just help us while we stand to preach. Lord, this message is very important tonight in our Christian life and in the Christian race that we have in front of us, that we're to run it until you call us home. Lord, might we be faithful and that to run and follow you. May somebody here tonight that is lost, that does not know you, I pray they'd get saved tonight before it's eternally too late. Lord, I pray that they'd get in the race and could do something for you before this life is done. Lord, again, we thank you for Jesus who loved us. That man that went to Calvary and died for us, thank you for him. Help us while we preach, touch us, and anoint us afresh tonight. We cannot do anything without you. And Lord, without the movement of the Holy Spirit tonight, there's nothing that'll be accomplished. And so I pray that you'll move among us. We do love you and we thank you. Save that sinner's news tale for these things in Jesus' name do I ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As I was studying the race, I began to think about and that story over there in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 18, when Absalom has been killed. Joab has killed Absalom. If you remember the story, they went out to battle. And I remember an old preacher years ago when I was just a kid. I can remember him preaching when a long-haired hippie got his hair caught in an oak tree. I can remember that. And the thing about Absalom was is he had long hair. And he got caught in that tree and Joab come and killed him. But after that, they are going to send a message back and that to King David and telling that his son is dead. And there was a man, a young man by the name of Ahimaaz, that wanted to run and tell David that message. And Joab said, "No, you're not going to run today. We're going to let Cushai and that run and tell this." And so Cushai takes off and he's got a message to go tell the king. And Ahimaaz, if you read that story in 2 Samuel 18, he continued in that to want to run. And so Joab said, "Then run and take off if you want to run." But see, the difference between Cushai and Ahimaaz is Cushai had something to tell, but Ahimaaz did not. Can I tell you tonight, in the race that we're running, we have a reason and that to run tonight. Hey, listen, I've got a reason to run. If you've never been saved and you're trying to run this race, it ain't going to work. You don't have a reason to run. But friend, I'm going to tell you tonight, if you'll come to know Christ Jesus the Lord, it'll make all the difference in your life. Let me say tonight that our Christian life is not a short race and it's not a sprint, but it is a long race. It is a marathon. This thing is to be run and run and run and run and run. Now listen tonight. I can run a sprint. I proved it the other night. Out there in the parking lot, took my jacket off. And me and Gunner run from the front porch and that to the truck and back. And I proved that I could run a sprint, even though somebody about had to scoop me up off the ground out there. But when it comes to running with any distance at all, friend, you have to be prepared to do that. I couldn't run today a marathon. I mean, friend, I'll be honest with you, if I had to run maybe from here to the road, I'd be in trouble. But you have to train and that to run and that to build stamina and that to build strength. Let me say today, it does matter about your spiritual exercise. What did he say? He said bodily exercise profiteth little, but rather exercise unto godliness. Amen. And in this race that we're running, godliness does matter. Amen. I believe the preacher was preaching on that this morning about how to live and that for God. But there's training that must be done. There's eating right that must be done. And all that comes from the Word of God. I learned to run this race when I got in this book right here. When I fell in love with this Bible, and I fell in love with the God of this Bible, it began to change everything in my life. It made the race a whole lot sweeter. It made it a whole lot easier to run. It made it a whole lot more pleasant to run for the Lord instead of trying to run for something that I wanted. Amen. It'll make all the difference in the world when you begin to train and to begin to see that there's a day out there that we're just not running to run, but we're running because there is a prize out there for us to win. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." My sister, she was in a contest yesterday over in Nashville. I've given a speech, and I told her, I said, "Sis," when I talked to her on the phone, I said, "Are you going over there to win that contest?" She said, "I am going over there to win that." She didn't win, but she was going with. I said, "If you told me you're just going and hoping to do the best you could, I'd tell you just turn around and go back home. Because if you ain't going to win, I'm not going to play." And friend, that's the way I do everything. And I think our Christian life in this race needs to be that way. I want to run so that I can win at the end of this thing. Hey, I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And I hope that He does. I told somebody the other day, you know, you can start wrong, but you can finish right. You know that you can start right and you can finish wrong. But thank God you can start right and you can finish right. And more, thank God for that today. The Apostle Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto them, unto all them also that love He is appearing." I want to preach tonight three things looking at running this race that we call Christianity. Now, if you look real quick, you'll see, by way of introduction, you'll see that there was a great crowd of witnesses before us. I believe he's in reference and that to chapter 11. I believe he's talking about those that had lived by faith and that had lived faithful and that to God. They had run their race and had been found faithful unto the end. And he said, look, he said, we had that great cloud of witnesses that we can look to and look at. But number one tonight, let me say what it says here. That's what you ought to do. Let me say what it says. That's pretty good. You need to remember that. Number one tonight, it says, "Let us." Two things in verse 1 to let us. Now, when the Bible says, "Let us," that puts us in charge of it. Really tonight, that word "let" puts it in your lap this evening. First of all, he says, "Let us lay aside." Now he tells us what to lay aside. You know, it's easier to run a race when you ain't got to carry nothing. I mean, if it's just you, I mean, that's a good thing. If it's just you, if you just even had 10 extra pounds on you, that's 10 extra pounds that is heavier than you, and you need to get it off you. The first thing he talks about tonight is let us lay aside every weight. I made this statement the other day. I believe that weight and sin in this passage of Scripture is different. You may disagree with me, and that's fine if you want to, but he categorizes them different right here. And listen, and I know that sin has got weight to it, but tonight I believe that there is a difference between weight and sin. I believe some people have got the cares of this world. What did he say in Mark chapter 4 when he was talking about the sower? Sower went forth to sow. And he talks about the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And I believe sometimes the cares of this world begin to weigh us down. Whether it is doubt, whether it is fear, whether it's in situations that we're in, I'm going to tell you, friend, if fear resides in your life because of some situation that you're in, you need to give it to God and let Him handle it, and He'll do that. Amen. I found Him to be true. I found Him to be just. I found Him to be exactly what the Bible says tonight. I know that He can handle whatever I give Him. 1 Peter 5 and 7, in case you know you care for Him, for He careth for you. I know He'll handle it tonight. Thank God for that. You may think that it's awful dark in your Christianity. You may think that you're running the race and God has turned the lights out. But for now, I guarantee you, He's there tonight and He can help you through it. But listen, he said, let's lay aside every weight. Weight, sometimes that may be bitterness. Bitterness. Maybe malice. Maybe holding a grudge. I mean, I've had to deal with that. I think a lot of us over the years have had to deal with that unforgiveness. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Listen, I believe there is some weight that we can carry, maybe even the weight of the old life, the baggage of the old life, the scars of the old life, maybe scars of sin that God's already forgave, but we just won't let it go, and we're just weighted down in that race. It's easier to run when you ain't got no weight on you. Amen? I wish that I started to bring some weight tonight. I didn't know who I'd get to run with weight on. But you know, it's so easy. You know, it's hard to walk if you're carrying 2 5-gallon buckets full of water. It's hard to walk, let alone run a race. What would that be? 40 pounds a piece. Is that right? 5/8, we'll say 8 pounds to a gallon. And I know it's a little more than that, but we'd say 5/8, 40. That'd be 80 pounds that'd be added to you. I mean, it's hard enough to carry one, let alone two. Now, I'm talking about your Christian race. If you've never started a race, you need to get saved tonight. Jesus' blood will forgive you and wash you clean and make you white as snow and get you set and apt to run. But if you're running tonight, listen, you may be struggling tonight in that race because of some weight. Some weight. Weight us down. Situations and fear and grudges and doubt. I mean, just a lot of things can weigh us down. He says, lay aside every weight. And then the sin, the disobedience, and that to the Lord. You know, it talks about how these things beset us. That sin or that weight, that word beset means to surround or to enclose or to press in from every side, to perplex us, listen, to entangle us, so as to render us inescapable out of that thing. That's what to beset means. You didn't know that's what that word meant, did you? Think about it for just a minute. Think about it, whether it is a weight or a sin. And you may have some sin. You know, you can't run with sin in your heart tonight. You're just going to be dead stopped in your race tonight. You might as well not even try to go. The Bible said, the psalmist David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Lord will not hear me. You just need to take care of it. Whatever it may be, whatever that sin may be between you and God, you need to deal with that sin this evening. And listen, then you can run your race. But he said these things beset us. They get around us and they press us from all sides. So imagine if you were carrying away or if you had something that was in between you and where you were heading. That thing beset you. It surrounded you. It's in on top of you and it will not let you run. That's what he's saying right here. This way or this sin. Now notice what he said, which does so easily beset us. You know, there's some things in your life that the devil knows how to push your buttons and he knows he's got you. And you've got to learn how to deal with it. I have to learn. I've had to learn some and I'm still learning today. But he knows in our Christian race, our adversary does. And I don't want to blame everything on our adversary, because our flesh knows what it likes too. I'm not going to blame the devil for everything, but I do know that he is against us in running. And these things so easily beset us. Here's what Paul told Timothy. He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself." Now remember what it meant to be beset. It meant to be entangled or trapped to where escape was basically inevitable. He said, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." The race you're running is bigger than you tonight. You have to understand that. The race is bigger than me. The one we're running for and running toward, that's what we're going. It's not about us, but it's about the race that we're running for Christ tonight. Listen, that we can please Him who had chosen us to be a soldier tonight. Can I ever ask you, let me ask you a question. As I was studying this, it came to me. Have you ever set out in all honesty to do something in a day and then somehow you got sidetracked? Sometimes of your own making, sometimes not of your own making, but you got sidetracked. And at the end of the day, you look back and you say, "Well, what I set out to accomplish did not get done because I got sidetracked over here." Now sometimes, now talking about in our physical life, sometimes we have to get sidetracked because sometimes some things just have to get done. I understand that. But I'm asking you, have you ever in all honesty wanted to accomplish something, say, "Boy, today's the day I'm going to get this done," but then this right here entangles us and snares us for the day. And we can't get loose from it. And listen, that's the way it is in our race. He said, "Let us lay aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset us." If there's something there, whether it is a weight or a sin that just seems to reappear and reappear and reappear, and it hinders us in our race, and that for Christ, you need to lay it aside and just be done with it. "I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I'm not going to let it bother me or hinder me anymore by the work of God." He said, "So let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily beset us." And then he says, "Let us do something else." He said, "Let us run." While we are entangled in that with the weight and the sin and beset, then we cannot run the race. But when we lay aside all those things that hinder us in our race, then we can run. We can run. He not only tells us to run. You know what I've learned as I get older and I weigh more right now than I've ever weighed my whole life, I think. And I've learned that my ankles can't take it and my knees can't take it. When you try to run, you know, you got to be in shape to run. I mean, I could run. I remember years ago when Brother Ralph come in and preached the first revival, I believe back in 2006. And he talked about they were so poor when there's kids that they played run around the house. Y'all remember that story? Y'all remember him talking about that? They played run around the house. So Methany was little at that time, and she wanted to play run around the church. And at least I was in a lot better shape then than I am now. But I was in poor shape back then. And so she wanted to play run around the church, and we played run around the church, and I made it halfway around. I'm not sure I can make it halfway around now. But he said, let us run. Run. Not jog. Not walk. But run. So what are you trying to get to, preacher? I'm trying to get to the point to you that spiritually, and I know I touched on this in the introduction, that spiritually we have to be in the place. Not only have we took the weight and the sin off of us to where we can run, but then we've got to be in shape to run. So spiritually, we need to get our spiritual man in the right place to where he can run. So how do we get him there? I think tonight, he says, let us run with patience. The race that is set before us. Patience has two thoughts to it tonight. One is suffering. And the other is perseverance. It comes from suffering, long suffering, if you let me say that. Those two kind of go together. When we think of having to have patience, we almost think of having to suffer. The Bible talks about in James chapter 5, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercy. Now I'm glad for that last part. You've heard of the patience of Job. Look at everything that Job went through waiting on the Lord to show up. Some of you have met me going out the back door as I was shaking hands and say, preacher, you pray that I can have some patience. And when somebody says, pray for patience, I always think of Romans 5, where Paul said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation work of patience. You want patience? Chances are tribulation is going to have to come. He said tribulation work of patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Thank God for that tonight. So when we look at the word patient or patience in running our race, then we understand that in our race it is a thought of perseverance while suffering. I do not find running enjoyable. You say, well, if he's in shape, you might. I might. But you've heard Brother Larry talk about, and he was a runner from way back yonder. So far into that race, you begin to hurt. You know, in our Christian race, there are going to be some things that are set out there to hurt us. As he talks about running with patience, with perseverance, while we suffer. Your race is not going to be a bed of roses. I wish everybody could understand that tonight, that the race that we're in, the Christian race, I wouldn't want to be in anything else tonight.
Amen.
I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. I tell you, you get to my age and you begin to look back on some things, and I don't know why you do it. Some men or women don't do it when you get to where I'm at. I guess I'm one of them fellas that do kind of look back. I wouldn't know how to do anything else. I wouldn't want to do anything else than what I'm doing right now. I mean, I've been preaching for more than half my life. I don't know anything else. I believe God called me to preach. I believe He put that in me and on me, friend. And I want to please Him. But listen, you don't have to be a preacher and act to run the race. You just need to be saved and started out. And no matter what is in front of you, you're going to have patience and that to run the race. There's going to be perseverance. There's going to be endurance. Listen, you have to train for endurance. You have to. I could use to jump on the treadmill there at the house and walking a mile and a half in 30 minutes was no big deal to me. Seriously, no big deal. My dad, who is 71 years old, walks 2 miles every day and would walk circles around me. But I could used to get on that treadmill and walk and wouldn't hard. And after you do it for a while, you don't even breathe hard. If I got on there now, after about 10 minutes, I'd want to get off of it. I mean, I'd be, you know, you'd be sucking wind, your sides are hurting, your chest is hurting. I mean, you can't breathe. Why? Why is that? Because I have yet to, my training that I put in has begun to falter. I've not walked or run with perseverance. I've had something else to do, so I did not walk that day. I did not feel like it, so I did not walk that day. I was lazy, so I did not walk that day. You know, your Christian life can't be that way. You can't say, well, I just don't want to run today, so I'll take the day off. No, you got to run today. I don't feel like going to run today. I got other things to do. You got to run today. Listen, Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. No matter what comes against us, we must run with patience. I have the race that is set before us. We must endure. We must persevere no matter who or what is against us. That brings us to verse 2. Not only did he say, let us, but then he tells us to look at something or somebody. He says, looking unto Jesus. He said, look at him. Why? And not only is he going to show us how to run the race, but it's him is the reason that we run the race. He's not only going to show us how to run it, but it's him that we're running for tonight. Look what he said. He said, he's the author and the finisher of your faith. Look, he is the beginning and the end of our faith. Hey, our saving faith. Hey, listen, it's him that we believe. It's him that we trusted. It's him that gave us the faith to even trust in him that he could save us tonight. He has dealt to every man that measure of faith that we could trust and believe in him so that we might be saved. But he is the author and the finisher of it. He started it out. He finished it. I believe that ought to be something for us to do tonight. We ought to start our race and we ought to finish our race tonight. And that for the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to be found faithful the whole time while running. Hey, listen, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith in him to save. Faith in him to keep. Faith in him to help. Faith in him that he's going to come again. Amen. You know, there comes a day that our faith's going to end in sight. What was it Peter said? Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. He says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I want you to look at what he said. Look at what? What are we going to look at him for? Now, he is the author and the finisher. He is the beginning and the end of our faith tonight. But he said, who for the joy? I always found that a very strange verse. Who for the joy that was set before him? I never could imagine that Calvary would have brought joy. And I've thought about that verse and I have contemplated on that verse. I thought, why was there joy when he endured the cross? Why was that joyful unto him? I don't believe that he was a clapping his hands and singing, oh, happy day, and that he was rejoicing in that thought. But friend, I can tell you one reason I believe that he counted it joy was because he was coming to fulfill the Father's will. He was doing exactly what he came to do. And that was going to please the Father. If you go back and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, everywhere you read, all Christ Jesus the Lord wanted to do was please the Father. That's it. He did not come to please himself. He did not come to please mankind. He came in that to please the Father. He gets over there and he gets to praying. I just read it the other night as I was sitting on the couch in John chapter 17. I believe it was. You know, that's the Lord's Prayer. And he talks about having the glory that he once had when he was with the Father in heaven. You know, the Lord gave all that up to come down here. All that glory that was in heaven. I believe he counted it joy because he was pleasing the Father. Father, he said in Luke 22, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not mine will, but thine be done. I believe he found it joyful that man was going to have a Savior when all this was done. He seen that man. You know that old songwriter said it talked about how that he could have called 10,000 angels down, but no, he didn't call them down. Friend, why? Because he suffered an act for me and you, so that we could have a Savior tonight. Isaiah 53 said, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath put him to grief." That is amazing. Christ Jesus the Lord found it joy to go to Calvary. And the Bible said in Isaiah 53, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Two things I can't understand. God the Father in heaven looked down and he was all for what was happening. God the Son counted it joy for what he was going to go do. I cannot comprehend that. In my finite mind tonight, I can't comprehend that. I believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe it tonight. Amen. That's why I'm saved tonight. Amen. He came to pay for all man's sin. He said, you look to Him. He said, you look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, the man who gave you faith so that you could be saved. But look to Him. It was joy that He went to Calvary, that He endured the cross. He despised the shame, listen, all the shame that was brought to Him and thrown upon Him in His life and in His death as He despised that thing. He went through all that for me and you. So that not only could we be saved, but that we could run the race and that to please Him. And then at the end of it all, God magnified Him and exalted Him and set Him down at the right hand of the throne of God. Reminded of Philippians 2. Let this mind be in you, which also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation. I come across that verse and I'm always reminded that if there was anybody in the whole world that could have made himself a reputation, it was Christ Jesus. He was the very Son of God. He did come and die for man's sins. And Rosa, He did have the power to heal and raise the dead. He was God in the flesh. But yet in humility. Boy, I tell you, you're talking about teaching us something about humility right there. We are nothing. He was everything. We are nothing. We have no reason to think that we are anything, that we can make reputation, that God can use us and use nobody else. Hey, listen tonight, friend. The Bible said right here, He made of Himself no reputation. And took upon Him the form of a servant. Was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man. Watch this word right here. He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Philippians said that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Romans says there's coming a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You'll either do it here or you'll do it there. But you're going to do it. And the difference is, when you do it here, He saves your soul. Gets you fit for heaven. But when you do it there, friend, you'll do it in your lost condition. Unsaved, being judged before just and almighty God. And that to be cast into an eternal lake of fire. Saying, I should have trusted Him. I should have trusted Him. Running this race. Listen, he run his race in joy and in endurance and in shame. You know what God done? He exalted him. Acts chapter 5, verse 41, Bible said they departed, talking about the apostles. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I'm telling you, the world hates his name. You can talk about God. You can talk about the Creator. You can talk about the Architect. All you want to, friend. But you get to talking about Jesus, people get a little excited about that. I'll never forget, I believe it was a woman over in North Carolina. And she had something to do with a bank robbery. She had watched it or figured out what was going on. And she was following the bank robber, if I remember the story right. I seen it on the news. And so she finally led the police to where the bank robber was. And they were interviewing her. And she got to talking about the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, lost people don't talk about the Lord. They talk about God. And they'll talk about the Creator. But boy, when you start talking about the Lord, I told my wife, I said, she knows something about God right there. She's talking about what the Lord was doing. You know, it was the Lord that kept her safe. And the Lord, I don't know what she was, but she knew something about the Lord. Amen. But notice they counted it. They were just happy to be worthy to suffer shame for His name. They were running their race, wasn't they? Running their race and suffering through it. You look at Jesus, that's why we run, and He teaches us how to run. He said, for consider Him that endured. There that word is again. He endured the cross. Now He is enduring such contradictions of sinners against Himself. We're going to have to do that. Not everybody's going to be for us. But the Bible does say if he's for us, who can be against us? Now these folk can be against us, but they're not going to win. Number three, and last of all, He tells us to let us do something, to look at somebody. And then the last part, number three, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. He said, lay aside the weight and the sin and run. He says, look to Jesus and run. Why? Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Unless the race gets to be too much. Unless the race gets to be too hard, the situation, the enemy, those that are against us, the race itself becomes bearing down upon us. He said, what you're going to do is get weary. Weary in the battle. Weary in the race. Can I ask you something? You ever just been doing something and get tired and just quit? You ever been so tired that you just quit what you were doing? Set your tools down or maybe put the tools up. You wasn't done with the job, but you put the tools up and you just go in the house, get cleaned up and lay down. You ever done that? You quit. Job wasn't done, but you quit. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and departed unto Thessalonica, Christians, Galatians, and Titus, unto Dalmatia. He said, they signed they have forsook me. And they have quit. He says, when you get wearied and you want to faint, He said, you look unto Christ Jesus the Lord. He's the reason that we're running. And He's the one that can teach us to run. Let me ask you tonight, are we running? Are we running our race like we need to be doing tonight. You say, well, we ain't getting a lot accomplished. Are we running? Are we running? Some run faster than others. Some run better than others. If we had to run right now and I set out on a nice even pace and figured out how to run and breathe right and do all that, I'd probably still hobble along at times because of bad ankles or bad knees. But are we running tonight? Are we satisfied to be where we're at, sitting, not serving the Lord like we should, not doing what we should, but running the race? Let's bow our heads tonight if we would. So look across the house tonight. We'll have no music, but listen, maybe tonight you need to come. So, preacher, I'm getting awful tired in the race. You know why Paul warned us in Galatians chapter 6, and let us not be weary in well doing? For in due time we shall reap if we faint not. You know why he tells us not to let us be weary in well doing? Because he knew we were going to get weary. Why do you think the writer in the book of Hebrews warns us that we would get weary and faint in our minds tonight? Because he knew what was going to happen. That we were going to weary and going to want to quit. Preacher, I don't want to admit that tonight. You might not be there tonight. You may say, I'm running, and that's good. I want you to run. The Lord wants you to run. I want to run. Be faithful in my race and just go and go and go. But tonight you might need some strength to go. You can find it on this altar tonight. Maybe you've never been saved. Tonight would be a good night for you to move and come up here and get saved tonight. Ask Jesus Christ into your heart, forgive you, and He'll save you this evening. Does anybody need to come?